Record. Hey everyone, I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with midwifery business consultation and empowering midwifery education. Maylene Hegenberger is with me today. We haven't chatted in about 6, 8 months. I've known her for a couple of years now, and I've been so impressed watching from afar your amazing journey, Maylene. So we'll link below her training she did for us about a year and a half, 2 years ago. But Maylene, anybody that hasn't met or heard about you and our following, can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, thank you so much for your time, Leslie. I am Malene Hickenberger, and I am a Danish nurse midwife, and I'm sitting here in Denmark. And I've been a nurse midwife for more than 20 years. I still work clinical hours in my own hospital where I teach suturing and repairs and diagnosing. And I also run the follow-up clinic where I look at the complex second-degree tears and all our episiotomies, and I resuture them if they're not diagnosed or sutured correctly. We do a lot of photo documentation. So we do take pictures straight after delivery of the repairs, but also if they need a secondary repair. And then we take before, during, and after. And then we speak to whoever did the repair so that we can learn and improve how we diagnose and suturing. So that's one side of my life as a midwife. The other part is the Hegenberger. I am the inventor behind the Hegenberger retractor. It's a device I made for, it's a very flexible device that you can place inside the vagina. I have a pillow here. This lady here has got a tear, a second degree tear. So what you simply do is you take the Hegenberger and then you place it slowly all the way in, and then you slowly let go of the Hegenberger. That means that you can actually see inside the vagina and you can see the tear. And it is these ones here are for holding sutures. So if you do place a suture, you're not quite ready or sure whether you want to tie a knot yet, you can simply hang the suture to the side. So I made exactly what I needed myself as a midwife. When you sit and suture, you always need that third hand to kind of hold away hold away the tissue and actually feel and inspect the tear. And so that's my biggest part of my life. I'm also a mom of three children, three boys, one home birth that didn't go as planned. So I'm ended up with a cesarean section and then a normal hospital birth. So I've tried all different version as a private person. So that's my introduction about myself. And then I have a key interest in repairs, because I think it's a huge part of midwifery in my world. And it's a very, very important part of women's life when they leave, when they have given birth. We as midwife has a very, very important part in inspecting, diagnosing and suturing correctly. And I have a broad international background. I have lived in many countries. And it's interesting when it's no matter where you are in the world, the suturing is what gives what is provided the less focus, the less prestige. And that is actually what the women are going to live with for the rest of their lives. So my dream is to upgrade that within the midwifery, so that becomes just as an important part of like we discuss a lot about progress in labor. We discuss about well-being of the mother during pregnancy. We discuss labor positionings, how to descend the baby, how to push, not to push, urge. Natural. And then it's on a global level that the discussion stops after the placenta is born and the baby's well and the bleeding is under control, that it's like the birth is over, but it's not. So that's why I invented the Hegenberger. I want it to be a bridge. I want it to be a bridge for optimized training. You can actually place it and you can sit and you can discuss with the midwife student what are you actually seeing without actually causing more harm or more pain or more discomfort to the mother. So for the mother or the birthing person, it is a much better experience being sutured with the Hegenberger because you don't have moving fingers. This one is very predictable. And the critique I've had is that how can you place something within a woman who's just giving birth? It's a very empowering experience. It's a very big emotional experience. And I am the opposite. I am like, well, if she does need a repair, then it's about communication. It's about when she's ready to have the repair done. Does she want to breastfeed first, after? What kind of local anesthesia does she need? And then you place this one, and then she actually has a good experience because it's in control.
Well, it's
this
not
one
used
is very
universally. It's used just when you need it for, like, okay, there's that deep tear or that situation. So, like, we don't like to do bimanual examination or bimanual and manual extractions, but sometimes we have to do that. So I think that's important to stress. This isn't something you put in every single woman postpartum, but the difference of you've got that deep tear and your fingers are wet and slippery and constantly moving is far more just uncomfortable than you just set this and she just has constant dull pressure and you do your thing.
Yes,
so I think
exactly.
that's really important to stress to the midwives and the team that's using this, is like, it actually makes it 1,000 times less invasive for the mother and uncomfortable wise. Yes.
It is and it's made, what I like about it, it's made by a woman who's giving birth herself. It's made by a midwife who's been suturing, and it's a female entrepreneurship. So there's three things in it. And I think it's made based on my 20 years of experience, my needs, because labor delivery is 24/7. We need to learn how to suture at all times. And we need to look at it as optimizing the way we work. And if we optimize how we work, we provide better care. That's my theory, how I look at it. And I always compare to what we do to women in other scenarios, and we should, or in other surgical procedures, because I know we don't like calling it a surgical procedure, but when you do have a complex second degree tear, it is complex for a reason. And so we need to provide optimal care there throughout, because otherwise you give optimal care throughout the whole pregnancy, throughout the whole labor, and then suddenly we drop in our. So I think the view upon women should be that high level care should continue. And no, it's not for every repair, but it's certainly a very, very good tool for having both hands free for your surgical technique, but also for actually going in the depth of the tear to get the tissue really well connected. And also get the muscles aligned in the pelvic body, because that's where we are going to, that's where we get the Kegel exercises performed. Well, that's how we strengthen that. And I see so many first degree tears that's been misdiagnosed, so it's actually second degree tears. And to have to place a strong focus without being a suturing police or being, you know, you're not doing it right, then just be open and say, this can actually be very difficult. It can be very difficult and challenging for some midwives and for some tears. You know, some tears can be very complex. But it is a very good tool to have, both in hospital settings and whole birth settings, but also clinic settings. Because we operate alone, midwives, we operate alone often. And who haven't tried to sit at 4 o'clock in the morning and have a bleeding artery that you simply cannot, you know, get your finger in?
Yeah,
and,
I've done quite a few unnecessary transfers that I think your Heckenberger speculum would have, like, it's like a deep sulcal tear and I'm just holding pressure on it till EMS gets there because I can't see and I can't suture by myself and the birth assistant. Like, there's so many things I could think of, and I would love to see the data on the community-based side of transfers we're doing because they're difficult tears we can't visualize in our setting and just with our limited resources do that will be avoided. So there's finally FDA approval. And you've got
it
a
is.
New York corporate office, so you're going over the pond once in a while. So
yeah, we are I've been waiting so many years for this, and now we're in New York City. We are trialing it, and we're in contact with 9 sites in New York City. And our next focus, well, we are getting a lot of interest from Florida as well. We're getting a lot of interest from the Midwest. And so the news is spreading, and it's what's so nice is that it's new within the postpartum part of of midwifery.
There's not 20 others and you're given a variation. You are cutting edge doing stuff that's going to transform millions of women's postpartum pelvic floor opportunities. Yes, you are
And
picked in.
I'm the second midwife in the world to invent an obstetric device. And I think that's also a strong signal that to other midwives, and that we have so many good ideas, don't ever let them go. I mean, if I can do it, then anyone can do it. But keep on to your good ideas, because it's needed. It's needed to have female inventors. It's needed to have female entrepreneurs, and especially midwives.
Yeah.
And we have so many things to do for women, for that part of their health, because they give birth in a fairly young age and they have to live with those three body organs, the bladder, the vagina, and the anus for many, many years. So we have a big job there as midwives. And I have certainly done some poor repairs, I think, but I will always look back and think that at least we all do our best, but we can still learn. And just like we can learn in any other fields within midwifery, we learn about breech deliveries. We learn so many other things, how to resuscitate without cutting the cord. We learn so many other things. So repairs and suturing should also be something that we should look into and upgrade on behalf of women and ourselves. So yes, I hope that I'm very sure that the Hengburger will be well received in the US. We have great interests among midwives, nurse midwives and midwives, but also obstetricians and hospitals, because it is intuitive. I wanted to create something that you can just take out and use. You don't need a big course. It doesn't have to be complex to use it. It has to be female friendly. That's why you see this curve, where the other instruments is more like 90 degrees, and that's not the shape of the birth canal. I wanted something that was very flexible, so it fits if you have a woman that's slightly obese and you have maybe not a complex tear, but maybe slightly high vaginal tear or something. It's good to place. You can suture quicker, and she can actually attend, you know, she can start breastfeeding earlier. So when you place it, it's important that the woman is actually lying down with her lower back. If she's semi-reclined, she will simply push out the Hengburger, and then no gel on the Hengburger. So you, otherwise it will come flying out. And then when you place it all the way in. So here you place it, you go in. So it's all the way behind the labia majora, and then you let go. And some clinicians, they put it only halfway in if the tear is not that high, but it should go all the way in, because then it locks behind the pubic bone here and it sits by itself. So if you have an episiotomy or a lateral tear, you simply place it in sideways. So you can place it, so where you would have placed your fingers, that's where you would have, you place the Hengburger. So see it as an extension of your fingers, and try it a couple of times, and then you have a really, really great, great tool, I can tell you. I've been using this for 3-4 years now, 4 years actually, and I have removed it only 5 times, where it was due to pain. We had to go to the OR with that patient. We had a patient with low discus prolapse. I had two with sexual assault and one with an anxiety attack. So it is very few compared to the hundreds of other women that I've used it on or placed it. And I always ask them 3 times. I ask them when I've just placed it, I say, how does it feel? Then I say after, when I'm almost done, and then I go back in when they're breastfeeding and when they're having a tear toast, and I go in and ask about the repair, how it felt. Because sometimes I'm the one who's only doing the repair. I'm not actually the delivery midwife. We have a tendency sometimes to change hands there. The women, they don't care about if it's the same midwife who's doing the repair or not. They're interested in the same midwife giving birth to the delivering the baby and weighing the baby and all that.
Yeah.
But they're not really interested in who's going to do the repair, except they want somebody who's good at it. So that's why I tend to go back and ask about the repair only, and just you know, when they sit up, maybe they have their some of the clothes on there. You know, you always think better when you're back in your own clothes and your own environment, and asking somebody who's lying down, you know, it's not really fair always. So so and I'm so happy that you're willing to spread the word around this.
It's been impressive to me. I mean, there's so many things I was taking notes as you were chatting, of just like reinforcing the business side of how impressive this is, Maylene. I've been watching you for 3-4 years. You collaborate closely with Guy and Zone, so you are an international expert in suturing. I love the video we did where you had your box of protocols. Like, it is, I think, reinforcing to midwives. The last other inventor was almost 200 years ago. We don't need to wait another 200 years before the next midwife inventor. Innovation is so powerful. Like, midwives want to impact ladies, and like you and I and entrepreneurs, we realize, yes, we could be at the bedside doing one at a time and doing 10 deliveries a month, but you're going to impact 100 ladies over the next year, versus we invent something, we improve systems, we make a business, we change a community, we change the world, and we impact millions of women when we take our ideas, we take our visions, and we take them to the next level. So I think that's really important to like hit on, is like, you didn't just have this tomorrow. You've worked very hard with volunteers and people coming over and a whole box of prototypes, but the persistence is the powerful part of this all. You knew how important it was, and it was your passion.
It is. And looking at how women are being sutured on a global level, I thought to myself, I can make a difference here. And it is important, because the women, they go home, they are sore from their labor, and they have a baby to take care of. It's not like a gentleman going home with a new knee, where it's just him and his knee. We do come home to a family. We have siblings, and we have a newborn baby that's taking up a lot of our focus. So for me, that is where the care for the woman's body should extend a lot further than it does. They should have a much better follow-up care, where a clinical person, a specialist, actually looks at the repair and says whether it's healing correctly or not. So somebody else takes care of the woman. That should continue, instead of, like, here in Denmark, I don't know how it is in the US, it's probably different, but here in Denmark, usually they are discharged from hospital, and if you're multiple, you are going home 4 hours after labor. And if everything is fine, you're going home quite soon after the baby's born, and then you have a home visit, but that's more around breastfeeding. So the body of the woman, you know, she has to be aware of, does it feel right? Do I have pain? Do I have fever? But that's a lot to put on somebody's
It's they'll stay 24, 48 hours for the vaginal delivery, around 72 hours for a C-section, but pretty much they have a 6-week postpartum visit, and people do go in that void, because a lot of it's based on that insurance billing system, whether you do multiple visits or just the 6 week, that's their postpartum care. So there are pushes to get more with breastfeeding and home visits and nursing support care, but it's a hard road. Postpartum care and mental health and maternity cares are huge voids in the US, just like a lot of the world. So I think there's huge strides of improving that postpartum recovery, not just for the mental health and breastfeeding, but that pelvic floor recovery process. Like, we're trying to push every woman should have pelvic floor therapy and get more of a follow-up with those muscles and the tears healing, and that things were properly, like, they have an understanding of how to build back that strength again that's just not really existing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that is, but my biggest shout out is that that we can do so much postpartum, and especially with the repairs. And I want the Hengberger to be a symbol of us as clinicians in general to prioritize that part. And I think we're doing a really good job now. I think a lot of midwives are very passionate about the repairs. That's not what I'm saying. I see a lot of midwives who actually really love the repair part, you know, because they like to kind of have the woman going home with a good repair. But still, we can be better. We can help each other. And I see in my own department, the more we use the Hengberger, the more we train together, the more we debate, the more even I can have a tear where I go out and I say, could somebody please come in, And we are actually not allowed to diagnose alone anymore in my department. We always have to be two to sign off the tear, if you could say that we have had two pairs of eyes on it. And that means that our percentage of tears, the grades of tears, have gone up. But I'm not afraid of that. I think it's much better that we actually find and diagnose correctly instead of us overlooking tears that should have been. So now there's an open door policy or open door culture in our department where we tell the women we are probably going to be two when we suture, but that is because this is what we do. It's not because you've had a complex tear and we're not telling you something. This is simply to make sure that you have the best possible care. And of course, we have busy days, but we cannot diagnose alone, and then you can suture alone. But if there's time, we'd like to actually attend each other's repairs to actually see how do we work, how do people actually suture, because that's something we learn. And then we work alone for many years. So to break that up, that loneliness or that single approach, I think has been very interesting. And the Hagenburg is very good because then you place it and you can actually sit both people, both clinicians, and you can sit and see the same thing. So I don't have to stand as a human retractor for a student or a colleague. We place it and then you can actually sit. And that means that the whole tension in the room calms down a little bit, because if I stand with my fingers
and you can't see well and the angle and you're in the way because one person's trying to see but then both can't see, it just gets complicated.
Mm-hmm. It does get, and the mother is like, she's not saying it with words, but she's like, are you really going to train on me, and is she going to, and I want to experience one, and as a trainer or as a supervisor, you need to train. And there's the father in the room, so all that kind of calms down, and I like that. I like calmness. I like calm parents and a relaxed mother who understands what's going on, and I like a relaxed training scenario, because that's where you get the most outcome for both parties. And I've had so many students coming out and they like, that is the first time I understand what I'm doing. That is the sentence, because they actually understand what the mucosa is, where the fascia is, where the muscles are, and they understand it without having to cause extra pain. So that is a very, very big benefit.
Yeah, and I see across the country in the inpatient side and outpatient community side, suturing reminds me a lot of ultrasound, bedside ultrasounds in the US, because a lot of people will say, well, you just get the bare minimum in school and you'll get it on your job. But then most people are just doing it on their own because maybe during those 5-10 births while you're signing off your privileges working there, you didn't have a tear or it was something small. You're typically doing those complex ones by yourself and you're solo at night and you're not going to call the doctor at 2 a.m. to ask them to come check you. So there's all over the country. I've done local midwifery for years where I've traveled all over the country and seen, I mean, there are extreme variations of how to suture and recommendations. There's not a consistent way. And so I think you'll be able to help standardize, not just improving outcomes of missing things, but also having teaching opportunities that are more safe, neutral space existing, because it's easier to visualize and it's not such an inconvenience to place and review together. I took quite a few notes that jumped out to me. I want to connect you. There's this wonderful pediatrician that did Midwifery Wisdom Collective's conferences last fall. She was one of the opening speakers. She specializes in the business number side of postpartum, like just the mental health, the outcomes, the complications. Like, I think it would be an immense asset for you in the US. So I'll get you guys together. But also, we always think of like, okay, we don't want the rectal seals, we don't want the urinary incontinence, we don't want all these things. But in the obstetrics in the US, it's actually major lawsuit issues too. Ann Geisler with the Midwife Plan, that's a major insurance company, she was at the birth center conference this fall. talking about lawsuits and outcomes. And one of them was a $1 million outcome because they thought it was a second degree and it was really a third and didn't catch it. And this woman has permanent rectal deficiency because of that mistake. So, like, we have to take this seriously, not just thinking the $1 million, but this poor woman's life. We would have had your retractor. We would have had the right tools, resources, training. We have to take suturing more seriously than we are in the US. So I am so grateful that you are bringing it around the world and doing all these amazing things for us, Maylene.
Thank you so much. I would love all that contact because we need to spread the words. And the more we connect around this, the more voices that we speak on behalf of the silent voices, I think the better. And there's so many women, millions of women out there who are living in silence because they think it's their fault or that they give birth in the wrong way.
Everybody feels that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I see them and I meet them every Monday in my clinic. And it is absolutely devastating to meet a young woman who is in her 30s and she's neither continent, she's not, she's fecal incontinent. That is heartbreaking, absolutely mm-hmm. heartbreaking.
Yeah, and it's not a simple fix. Once that tissue is healed, the amount of surgeries, and it's, you want to get it right the first time. And like, even
exactly.
I'm impressed with how you guys do culturally. And I know it's not always been that way because talking to you and Sarah Kindred, like changing the culture in the whole system from doing these, you guys do regular reviews postpartum. It's not just the suturing. You actually have like certain many days and couple weeks. You have a very standard making sure it's healing properly, not just doing the repair and then just kind of glancing if she says she has a complaint. So you guys are changing the complete culture of how to follow up with the pelvic floor.
Plus we have picture documentation in the patient's files, which is a big thing. Because otherwise you can just say, well, it looked great when I saw it. Yeah. And like the 2 weeks ago, I found this woman that was on her way home. And unfortunately, it was a young doctor who looked at her and she thought it looked fine and it did not. So now she's going back for a real operation. But it's just that we have to look for the women. Because we know what it looks like and what it's supposed to look like anatomically. So, but thank you so much for your time.
Yeah,
and please connect me.
Yes, I'll connect you with a lot of people. So yes, I think this is new in the US. It's been very popular in Europe. You've been expanding it with your guys' resources for the other services and just growing and building on them. But you're just revolutionizing the world's aspects of how we view pelvic floor healing and support. So I idolize you, Maylene. I honestly do. I just am like, you're so impressive to me. If we had more midwives in the world like Maylene, I just think, holy cow, what we could accomplish. So thank you for all you do.
Thank you. That's the best. I think I'll play that back to my boys later on.
You do that. You tell them your mom is an amazing thing. But I have my boys get told that a lot too, and they just roll their eyes. So yes, you and I have common. Yeah, like yeah, you don't know the other side of my mom. Yeah.
Well, those boys, they're going to grow up, and one day they will realize what they have we've
your
been doing.
My mom was a legend, and I didn't even know it. Like the power and impact she's doing of influence. So yes,
well, the rumors has already spread at my middle son's high school.
Ooh.
Your mom is working on both parts of, whatever. I can't really translate that. They have this
kids,
funny saying.
Kids pick on for everything. Yeah, you're a celebrity in sexual health and pelvic floor. So I'm sure high school boys
I told my middle son that I'm going to be on their hall of fame before he graduates.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
They have we'll all these they have all these male plates on the wall of former students, and there's only one woman, and I'm like, well, they need a second woman, I tell her.
Yeah,
and they need a midwife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it'd be amazing. So thank you everything for your doing, Maylene, and we will definitely keep updated. And if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to connect?
Just go to our website, hagenbergermedical.com. We also have our app. It's called Hagenberger Institute app. And there we have 9 videos of how to use the Hagenberger, how to place it. It's free, of course, but it's so nice if you want to introduce it to your hospital, please, or your clinic, please reach out to me and I'll connect you. We have stock in the US now. We can ship very quickly. The Hagenberger is $99. It comes in boxes of 10 and 40. for smaller places and for bigger places. So wherever any questions, please reach out to me at Hengberger Medical, or I'm also on Instagram, Malene Hengberger on Instagram, and we also have LinkedIn, of course. So I'm not, if you Google Hengberger, I will pop up somewhere and you can just find me. I'm very easy to find.
Well, I think the next big challenge is you guys will have to figure out how to microban it so it can be used multiple times, because I know, especially for the community-based midwives, it's a cost thing. But I also say, well, you got a Bakri balloon, you've got these emergency medications. This could be part of your toolkit for those rare situations, and you account in your fee schedule. So, I mean, for it's not something you use every single time, but if it avoids a transfer and an EMS cost and all this other stuff, like a lot of the midwives, when I talk the business side, you're listing suturing, postpartum, hemorrhage meds, these things, add the Hengberger speculum, the retractor, to your list of potential costs. But I think having at least a couple on the community-based side, and then with the hospitals, they do their coding and insurance and supply stuff, so they can figure it out. But definitely stressing it's a one-time use at this point. I know you're trying really hard to figure out how to make it multiple uses for safety, but it's definitely worth its weight in gold. Every midwife, it should have at least one in their bag with their toolkit for those what-if situations, because it's totally worth it.
Yeah, it's important to point out that you have to do the training. There's a few things you need to know, you know. Most it looks so intuitive, but it's worth trying it out on some uncomplicated tears to begin with, because when you do have that high sulcus tear, that's not when you want to learn something new. It's just like learning how to place an IV. You don't learn it in the first,
in every emergency.
You don't place your first IV in a postpartum hemorrhage. So that's the same with the Hengberger. So use it a couple of times so you're familiar with it. Use it in tears where you think, oh, this is not the case where I should use the Hengberger, but that's where you actually train with the Hengberger. And then when you have a complex tear, the Hengberger is familiar to you. So, and then you have a very, very good tool.
Yeah. And definitely. So yeah, buy 3-5 of them and have a couple for training with your little simulations, then upgrade to something uncomplicated. And then when, so I 100% agree with you. You got to have the skills, because you're going to cause more damage when you, like you said, you're trying to start an IV in an emergency. It's not the best time to be practicing for the first time. So very wise wisdom to pass at the end. So thank you so much, Malene, for your time today.
All right. Thank you so much.